Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm David Knight. It's Thursday, October 29th, 2015. Here are our top stories.
Tonight, Paul Ryan takes over as Speaker of the House. Will the new boss be any different from the old boss? Then, how a runaway blimp is a perfect analogy for U.S. politics. After that, smashing pumpkins to save the earth. And highlights from the GOP debate. That's next.
They know who you are. They know you hate them. They know you got bad will. We hate you. We see you, Phil. We know you're killing babies. We know you're aborting them. We know you're selling their body parts. We know you don't like us. Well, we don't like you either. Got that? You want to fight, you little bastards? You're going to get one! The sleeping giant is rising! Yes! Break the chain!
And it's that type of behavior that spurred me to do the research to develop a true nutraceutical formula that was designed to smooth out and help children focus. All of our children are hit with modern mind control. Television, music, fast food, GMOs, sugars, you name it. Young humans have not yet developed their nervous system and are being hammered daily by globalist concoctions. It's no wonder they can't focus and calm down and then are put on dangerous psychotropic drugs. Working with my team, we set out to find the best formula with the highest quality ingredients that children would actually like and take. We worked with the leading manufacturer in nutritional supplements that are safe for children to bring you the most affordable and powerful calming formula out there. Introducing Child Ease with herbs and calming extracts like chamomile and lemon balm and essential nutrients that taste great. Obtain your Child Ease today at InfoWarsLife.com. That's Child Ease exclusively at InfoWarsLife.com.
Well, it's a new day in Washington and Congress, or is it? John Boehner has left, but it looks like we have a new face that is going to be the same. Meet the new boss, same as the old boss. It's interesting that John Boehner says that what drove him out of office was right-wing talk radio, conservative talk radio. This story from WND, John Boehner says that it was right-leaning talk radio host in particular that led to his political downfall. He says, understand what was going on here. There were hundreds of radio hosts trying to outright each other, who, when combined with active social media posters, caused unnecessary turmoil and confusion over political and cultural matters. Yeah, you know, he sounds exactly like the SPLC, doesn't he? You know, the problem is that we were talking, you were listening, and you were writing and telling other people about it on social media. It wasn't anything that he was doing wrong. It wasn't that he was ignoring the wishes of the GOP voters who'd put him in, that he betrayed them on the issues. No, that had nothing to do with it. It was the people who blew the whistle on him. That's the way it is in Washington all the time, isn't it? Perfect metaphor, as we said last night, and again, as Huckabee pointed out, the blimp, the out-of-control blimp that we saw there. That's a perfect metaphor for our out-of-control government. A $3 billion blimp. How's that for inflation? $3 billion, of course, it's the Pentagon, and they're part of the runaway, out-of-control government. Certainly the military-industrial complex, the surveillance state part of that. This balloon broke its tether. It drug the tether then through power lines, causing over 27,000 customers to lose power. And as this was happening yesterday, we were watching this, it was just like, this is what everybody is looking at in terms of the economy. We've got this massive hyperinflated blimp from Washington that is on the rampage, most of it being justified by defense spending. Everybody is wondering when and where it'll crash and exactly how much damage it's going to do. But don't worry, because yesterday, just as they were getting ready to debate economic issues with the GOP House, with John Boehner as his parting shot, decided that they would put even more hot air into the runaway blimp. And so today, Paul Ryan has now become Speaker, and he pledges to fix the broken house. He's going to fix this runaway blimp of Washington. And you can believe him, because, well, not really. He's been on the wrong side of most of the big issues. He's been on the side of open borders. He's been on the side of the big spending part of the Republican side. Of course, that's one of the reasons why the Democrats love him so much. The House whip said he was a great choice, and so many of the Democrats love him. And, of course, he got 83% of the GOP. This isn't something that the Democrats are doing to us. This is going to continue the legacy and the way that business is being conducted by Boehner, by Pelosi, and now we have Paul Ryan. Put a different face on it. It really doesn't matter. They are exactly the same on all of the key issues, the secret corporate trade agreements, the open borders, the globalism. The single Washington Party, which the leadership of both houses, both parties represent, and he is the new face for all that. But this whole deal of extending this debt ceiling for another couple of years was an effort to put a new mask in, a new face, and to give him an extended honeymoon. And he's trying to pretend that he doesn't want to have anything to do with it. This story from CNN, Paul Ryan O, and that's what we need to start calling him, Paul Ryan O, doesn't want anyone to pin the budget deal on him. He says, about the process, I can say this. I think the process stinks. He's running against Washington while he's in Washington, while he's part of the leadership. He says, this is not the way to do the people's business. No, this is the way you do the corporation's business. And that's what he's been doing. He says, under new management, we're not going to do the people's business this way. He criticized outgoing Speaker John Boehner for cutting this deal with Obama and the Democrat leadership behind closed doors. And yet he supported precisely that for the corporations that he works for when it came to the fast-track trade agreement. This is just doublespeak. But just how big is this national debt, of course? Remember that in 2011, John Boehner reached this sequester agreement with Obama. At that time, the cumulative debt was $14 trillion. Now it is $18 trillion 4 years later, and they've just extended it to $20 trillion. So how big is the national debt? We have this article on Infowars.com from Steve Watson. He points out that it is as big as 120,000 Floyd Mayweather fights. The Daily Signal decided to put together some statistics to illustrate just how much of a problem the spiraling black hole of debt is. They note that Floyd Mayweather, the highest paid athlete on the planet, earned around $300 million in 2015 from an average of two fights per year. So he would have to fight 120,000 fights. Take a look at Taylor Swift, for example. Okay, she's made $80 million doing in 1 year from 55 concerts. So they look at this and they say, well, in order to pay off just 1 day's worth of interest on this debt, and where does that interest go? It goes to the Federal Reserve and the people that they sell the debt to. Taylor Swift would have to perform every day for 3 years at the kind of money that she's making. See, you really can't get your head around this. These are astronomical figures. Remember Everett Dirksen back in the 50s or 60s saying, you know, a billion here, a billion there. Pretty soon you're talking about real money. We cannot comprehend just how big it is. But I can tell you that in just 4 years, Boehner, working with Obama and the Democrat leadership, has extended the debt ceiling by 43%. Maybe you can understand that. Now, Rand Paul has said he's going to filibuster this, but Time magazine points out why this will fail. Of course, it's going to fail because he's being opposed by the GOP leadership. They say he can thank his fellow Kentuckian, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. They say on Thursday afternoon, Senator Rand Paul took the floor of the Senate. He began speaking for what could be more than 8 hours. The Kentucky senator earlier had vowed that he would do everything he could to stop the two-year debt ceiling raise, and the budget agreement passed yesterday, actually passed on Tuesday, 266 to 167. He says, it's hard for me not to use profanity when describing it. He said that after the debate last night. He said, we should be using the leverage of the debt ceiling to actually enforce spending restraint. Exactly. That's what they haven't done every time they've raised the debt ceiling. They don't use it as any leverage to affect any restraining on spending. He says the deal also will add $56 billion in additional spending to both fiscal years. So you understand that. Okay, the debt is the cumulative deficits. But of course, we're going to go into debt at a faster rate because they're not only are they not using anything to leverage down the spending, they're actually going to increase the spending. So what's going to happen? Well, according to Senate rules, Rand Paul can keep talking until midnight, as long as he doesn't sit down or take a bathroom break, at which time the debate will expire. And they say that's when things get interesting, because his fellow senator from Kentucky, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, will then move to vote on cloture, a Senate procedure that limits the debate of a bill to 30 hours, essentially stopping the filibuster. This is the way that it will end. The leadership of the GOP has worked hand in glove with the Democrat leadership to do anything that the two of them want to do, anything their corporate masters tell them to do. Well, of course, we had the economic debate last night with the GOP leadership, and I thought it was interesting because today, and I want to wish him a happy anniversary, this is Ben Carson's first 1 year anniversary of being a Republican. He registered 1 year ago today, became a Republican, and here he is in less than a year. He had three GOP debates as a presidential candidate. That's great. You know, I really don't care whether he's in the GOP party or not. I really don't care about partisan politics. What I do care about is if he knows about the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, things like that. And I look forward to celebrating the 1 year anniversary when Ben Carson reads the Bill of Rights, reads the Constitution, reads the Nuremberg Code, understands why we have moral, ethical codes that prohibit people from demanding that you take things like vaccines against your informed consent. That he could read the Constitution to understand why we had to have a constitutional amendment for prohibition. That's the anniversary I'm looking forward to celebrating. But, of course, CNBC is celebrating. They got 14 million viewers. That's far fewer than have been at the other debates, but it is still huge audience for CNBC. And how did they run this debate? Well, of course, we've heard a lot of comments. Everybody is talking about how awful that was. We covered it live last night. We're going to have some clips of that coming up here on the nightly news, some highlights from that debate. And certainly it was poorly managed by CNBC. Look at the way the time broke down. This is New York Times calculations of who got how much time. I was surprised to see that Kasich wasn't the person who got the most amount of time. Actually, he got about 8 minutes and 42 seconds. Carly Fiorina got the most, 10 and a half minutes. And I think that we need to start referring to her not as the former HP CEO, but as the fired HP CEO. It's amazing to me that somebody would use the fact that they got fired as a CEO and that they failed as a Senate candidate. That's her big resume ticket items. After Fiorina, there was Rubio, Trump, then Kasich. Carson, who had just taken the lead, national lead in the polls, was next to the last in terms of the amount of time that he got to talk. Only 7 minutes, and of course, Jeb Bush was the very last one on that totem pole. But what did they talk about? Well, they talked about the economy, supposedly, but not really. There was a lot of back and forth, a lot of personal attacks that they tried to instigate, and a lot of personal attacks from the moderators themselves debating the candidates. But one of the things I think that really got me concerned about this, made me angry about this debate, besides the fact that they talked about a lot of non-substantive issues, was the fact that when they finally did talk about the economy, no Republican candidate, and I mean no Republican candidate, including Rand Paul, offered any substantive reforms for controlling this out-of-control blimp that we call the federal government. Nobody offered anything. As a matter of fact, they couldn't think of a single thing to cut except for Social Security. Isn't that pathetic? Isn't that pathetic? And Rand Paul was one of the worst in that. I love Rand Paul when it comes to civil liberties, but on defense spending, on his policy with Israel, and on this, he is absolutely wrong. Look at this. Rand Paul exaggerates the effects of raising the age of eligibility for Medicare. And, of course, they crunched the numbers. And they said, well, if he was to raise it from 65 to 67, it would only save $19 billion over 10 years. That's not really the point. The point is this the only thing a libertarian candidate can come up with? I remember when a real libertarian candidate, Harry Brown, ran for president. And he went back and he said, look at the income tax. Do you think you could, how about let's just talk about getting rid of the IRS? Let's not talk about different income levels, different tax rates. Let's just get rid of it. Oh, that's not realistic, they say. Look at how much it contributes to the overall budget. As a matter of fact, there's a large chunk of the budget that we don't pay for each year. That's called the deficit. But in addition to that, if you just look at the personal income tax aspect of it, in 2014, the personal income tax only contributed 36% of the government's revenue. If we were to lose that, how far back would we have to cut the government in order to do that? Would it go back to 1932 levels? No. 2004 levels. Do you think we could live with that? Do you think we could live without a government that sends MRAPs to all of our police departments, that doesn't put cameras on every corner, that doesn't create $3 billion blimps to hover over us. Do you think we could get rid of some of the things that we've put into our government since 2004 and live without having a personal income tax at all? Let's go for a flat rate of zero. And the way we do that is we get government back to its constitutional limits. It's wrong to take this out of Social Security. Huckabee was right about this when he says it's not an economic issue, it's a moral issue. If you're going to lie to people, if you're going to tell them you're going to take 15% of their income for their entire working life, and then you say, now we're going to not give it to you. Because there's other aspects of Social Security that make it insolvent. Of course, part of it is the entitlements. There are entitlements built into Social Security for people who are not paying into it as a retirement fund. And then the federal government is using it as their own personal slush fund, borrowing from Social Security, using the money for other things. Let's not break faith with what we're doing on with retirees at the end of their life. That is absolutely immoral. And in the past, they've talked about privatization, but evidently that is off the table. We are told that at one point in time, well, let's talk about giving people the option to invest their money themselves. And of course, that in and of itself is problematic because they would force you to invest your money in Wall Street. How about if they let us keep that 15% and apply that to our mortgages? Do you realize that even if you were in at the maximum amount that a bank will allow you to borrow on a home, 40% as a debt limit on your home mortgage, if you were to take that 15% and apply it, even if you were leveraged to the max on your home mortgage, you could turn your 30-year mortgage into a 15-year mortgage. They wouldn't like that, though, would they? Because if you did that, you wouldn't be in debt to the banks. You would start to build capital on your own. You would get out of debt. No, they want you to put your money in, they want you to borrow money from the banks, and if you've got any money left over, they want to force you to put it into the Wall Street casino. And Donald Trump nailed that precisely when he went after Kasich for his Lehman Brothers experience. Now, he got the title wrong. He wasn't on the board, but what he said about Kasich was fundamentally right. He got over a $500,000 bonus as everybody was going down the tubes. And one of the ways that he got this, if you look at this story from International Business Times, one of the ways that he did it was by pushing state pension funds to invest into risky investments where they lost money. And both Kasich and Jeb Bush were trading their influence, not as lobbyists, but as something that was not regulated. That's the underhandedness of it. Coming up, the Department of Energy tries to scare us for Halloween, blaming climate change on smashing pumpkins. Sorry, Billy Corgan.
Your liver can be full of fatty deposits, built-up toxins, and even dangerous objects known as liver stones. We worked with the top developers in the field of detox to take tried and true herbs and other compounds known to safely cleanse the liver and fuse it with the latest research and technological development on concentrating these ingredients to give you the maximum effect. Liver Shield is the only liver support product on the market that uses a patented Spigerex blend of powerful organic herbs that support detoxification. And when you visit InfoWarsLife.com, see the instructional video on how to do a 6-day liver detox. This isn't a game, and let me tell you, the results are dramatic. Liver Shield is totally organic and made of the safest high-quality herbs. But that said, you need to consult your physician before you do the full detox. Liver Shield can also be used daily by itself for overall upkeep of the liver. Secure your Liver Shield today exclusively at InfoWarsLife.com for the lowest price available. That's InfoWarsLife.com or call 888-253-3139. Brain Force is here. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been on this the last few months. You probably noticed I've been more crazed, more focused, less brain fog, more energy, more special reports, and it's because of Brain Force.
One of the worst things with most energy products is it's not sustainable, right? You're going to crash and going to feel really bad afterwards. This has a bunch of different antioxidants and compounds and polyphenols.
Everybody's on these drugs to knock their brain out because the brain's so fried.
We kept changing this formula over and over and over again until it became sort of a grand puzzle. For example, the L-theanine inside of it, that is activated by the different compounds in the yerba mate that we put inside of it as well. This just increases the compounds you already have.
This is what you're actually designed to run on.
Exactly.
It's kind of like a car will run on one form of junkie gas, but it runs really good on what it's designed for. You will find Brain Force, Survival Shield X2, and other game-changing products at InfoWarsLife.com. Or call 888-253-3139.
I want my candy. I want my video games ruined my life.
And it's that type of behavior that spurred me to do the research to develop a true nutraceutical formula that was designed to smooth out and help children focus. All of our children are hit with modern mind control. Television, music, fast food, GMOs, sugars, you name it. Young humans have not yet developed their nervous system and are being hammered daily by globalist concoctions. It's no wonder they can't focus and calm down and then are put on dangerous psychotropic drugs. Working with my team, we set out to find the best formula with the highest quality ingredients that children would actually like and take. We worked with the leading manufacturer in nutritional supplements that are safe for children to bring you the most affordable and powerful calming formula out there. Introducing Child Ease with herbs and calming extracts like chamomile and lemon balm and essential nutrients that taste great. Obtain your Child Ease today at InfoWarsLife.com. That's Child Ease exclusively at InfoWarsLife.com. Knockout is back. If you want a product that has 10 known ingredients that naturally get your body to relax, your brain to relax, so you get deep, restful sleep, Knockout's it. InfoWarsLife.com. L-theanine, hops flower extract, lemon balm extract, valerian root extract, chamomile flower extract, L-tryptophan extract, melatonin, and more. All organic, all the natural sources. It's the same price as leading brands of melatonin that are 3 milligrams apiece. It has 3 milligrams, the standard recommended dose for an adult. It's got the GABA. So it would probably cost $50 to take all this as separate pills. It's $19.95. You take one or two of these, and it just is really clean, restful sleep is what the reviews are. It's what I've experienced. And it just synergistically puts everything in there. InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com. Or call 888-253-3139.
Well, just in time for Halloween, the Department of Energy is doing its best to frighten everyone as usual. Now they're telling us that smashing pumpkins are responsible for climate change. Not the group, but the action of smashing pumpkins. Yes, they say that more than 1.3 billion pounds of pumpkins are produced in the U.S. And guess what? They eventually get thrown away. They decompose and they turn into a natural gas called methane, and that's destroying the world. No, I don't think so. That's why we call them alarmists, but also they are humorless bureaucrats. Look at their Halloween costumes that they have at the Department of Energy's site. 5 energy Halloween costumes you can make at home. Take a look at these. You can dress up as solar panels. Oh, or you can dress up as Ernest Moniz. Who's that, you may ask? Well, that's their Secretary of Energy. Yes, you can dress like one of their bureaucrats, the chief bureaucrat. As a matter of fact, one of the ingredients that they list for this is you need a stylish founding father's wig. I guess he's a founding father of of this new bureaucracy that we have, of their replacement government. Or you could be an energy vampire. You know, you just dress up like a vampire, but you add extension cords so that people know that you're sucking up energy. I think they've got that reverse. I think you need to dress up like a vampire if you're going to be the Secretary of Energy's department. Or a particle accelerator. Or you could be a wind turbine. Now, this is the one that I think is the biggest epic fail, the wind turbine. I mean, you dress up in that thing, you're not going to be able to walk or move. You are literally a pushover. It looks like the scene from A Christmas Story where Ralphie's little brother's in that heavy-duty coat and he can't put his arms down and he gets pushed over and he can't get back up. You know, I don't know. But I guess these bureaucrats really know how to party. You know what? If you really want to scare them, then dress up like the Founding Fathers. Start reading the Declaration of Independence to them about swarms of bureaucrats who harass our people and eat out their substance. They will probably run away like they were vampires when you hold a cross up or something. And then they'll call the SWAT team on you. But don't worry, because as the FBI director, James Comey, that's the way the Daily Mail printed his name, James Comey, the way he said, you know, if the FBI and the police are afraid to get out of their SWAT team cars and their armored personnel carriers because people have cell phones, they're so intimidated by us that they're afraid to do anything, and so the crime rate is soaring. Well, actually, from the figures, crime rates are not soaring, and we can see over and over again that they're not afraid of us. But they are trying to get us afraid of global warming. Look at this story that came out just recently, within the last couple of days. This was on Monday. Global bishops are calling for complete decarbonization by 2050. Bishops launched a global appeal this last Monday for a breakthrough at the upcoming Paris climate talks, including a complete decarbonization of the world's economy and more help for poor countries battling the effects of climate change. Because, you know, climate change is going to affect the poor the most heavily. Listen, this is where we have the fight of our life coming up next. We've lost the fight to get a conservative speaker in. We lost the fight for the Trade Promotion Authority. They will be able to possibly, when they come up in December, ram through some kind of a mandatory climate scheme. That's what they're looking for. This is coming up in December. It's coming up in Paris. They say the November 30th to December 11th conference in Paris will be the culmination of 6 years of scheming, work, since the ill-fated 2009 Copenhagen Climate Summit, which failed to lock down significant agreements. But now they have the, thanks to Boehner, thanks to the GOP, they have the Trade Promotion Authority that will allow them to ram through these treaties without really any scrutiny or any modification. They say 5 days of negotiation in Bonn last week underscored deep divisions, including disagreements over who should pay for renewable energy sources and who should be tasked with making sure countries uphold their green pledges. Precisely. Because it's going to be a global tax, and they're going to have some kind of a global governance regime to enforce this. That's the whole point. It's a pretense for global governance. Now, John Baun has something that should really scare you. Yes, the spooks, the spies, really are listening, and that's what we learn from the recent passing of CISA. They're going to do even more of it. And they're going to do it without any legal restrictions. Here's that report.
You may have noticed CISA, a version of the cybersecurity bill passed in Congress with the Senate voting 74-21 to pass it, all in the name of a cyber defense to protect the American people and, more importantly, big business from hackers. And that's all you need to know, America. Go back to sleep. What they didn't tell you was the NSA and big business slipped a Trojan horse past the American people once again to allow them to spy on you. Yes, you. Wired Magazine reports privacy advocates and civil liberties groups see CISA as a free pass that allows companies to monitor users and share their information with the government without a warrant, while offering a backdoor that circumvents any laws that might protect users' privacy. The incentive and the framework it creates is for companies to quickly and massively collect user information and ship it to the government, says Mark Jacobs, legislative analyst for the Electronic Frontier Foundation. As soon as you do, he continues, you obtain broad immunity, even if you violated privacy law. Even the Department of Homeland Security agrees that the latest CISA bill could sweep away many important privacy protections. Breitbart reports Senator Ron Wyden, Democrat of Oregon, a Democrat who recently allied with Senator Rand Paul to water down provisions of the Patriot Act, said the bill virtually guarantees that private information unrelated to cybersecurity will be shared with the government, and said that the bill was a direct pipeline to the NSA.
Even with the manager's amendment, the core privacy issues are not being dealt with. The fact is, it is voluntary for companies. It will be mandatory for their customers. And the fact is, the companies can participate without the knowledge and consent of their customers, and they are immune from customer oversight and lawsuits if they do so.
During the voting process of CISA, the Senate rejected all of the privacy amendments that would have protected average citizens' right to privacy. But how exactly did they do that? TechDirt breaks down the geek speak detailing the NSA's unconstitutional desperation to collect data related to innocent law-abiding Americans. The NSA and FBI and CIA, for that matter, frequently make use of backdoor searches of the upstream data, a capability that was approved in 2011. Basically, the rules changed so that the intelligence community could sniff through data that was deemed collected incidentally. And that includes basically anything that is picked up in the upstream collection of data under Section 702 of the FISA Amendments Act. CISA is likely to be the key piece for letting the NSA and FBI warrantlessly spy on Americans after the FISA court limited that ability a few years ago. Is it any wonder when a $2.8 billion taxpayer-funded J-Lin surveillance blimp becomes headline news as the average American citizen shirks when they clearly witness a criminal surveillance state Goliath growing far too big to control?
The NSA grows stronger as it collects more of our personal information. The U.S. Constitution grows weaker.
John Bound for InfoWars.com.
So understand that with the passage of CISA, all corporate surveillance of you will be turned over to the government. So think about that as you look at this next story. The Telegraph from the UK points out that Google wants to monitor your mental health, and you should welcome it. Into your mind, it's a great deal. You know, they say it's deeply worrying in terms of privacy, but sadly, it's necessary. Now, they focus on the former head of the U.S. National Institute of Mental Health, Dr. Tom Insel, going to work for Google. And they point out that he's going to investigate how technology can help diagnose and treat mental health conditions. Google doesn't just want to read your mind. It wants to fix it. That's what Drudge picked up on his headlines. That's what's really concerning. Now, listen to what they say. A short consultation with a doctor once every few weeks is a poor means of diagnosis, but wearable technology allows continuous monitoring, because everything about you needs to be monitored continuously for the benefit of our government. A small portable device might monitor your tone of voice, speech patterns, physical movements, picking up early signs of trouble that could then be turned over to the government, saying, we think this guy is about to get kind of crazy, so pre-crime can shut you down. That's what you need to be concerned about. And be concerned about the way the police interact with people. Coming up, we've got Jakari Jackson interviewing a film director whose film of Dogs and Men is going to premiere this weekend. It's about the police killing of dogs, the epidemic of that. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
The knowledge of the ancients, tried and true, trusted herbs and extracts fused with the latest nutraceutical science. Introducing the all-new Ancient Defense Herbal Immunity Blend, crafted with over 14 key ancient herbs and extracts to supercharge and prepare your body for what experts admit is the most dangerous season of the year. We have rejected hundreds of other formulations in our quest to bring you what is simply the most powerful and comprehensive proprietary formula that we have ever created in the realm of herbal immunity. For the last 2 years, our team has been working with top doctors, nutritionists, and chemists to develop the ultimate nutraceutical formulation. Experience the benefits of combining over 14 ancient herbs and extracts with exciting new advances in nutraceutical science. Now is the time to secure Ancient Defense for you and your family. Visit AncientDefense.com or call 888-253-3139. That's AncientDefense.com. Break down why you're so proud of these filters.
Well, I mean, this the Alexa Pure is really a culmination of all of my experience. It was posed to me as an extremely challenging project. They wanted a product that would actually operate without any electricity, so it had no pressure. You had to do it all by gravity, and they needed... They really effectively said, we need everything imaginable to be removed efficiently, way higher than 99%. And so the result was, it's an extreme challenge. Worked on it for quite a long time. And basically what we've done is we created the only filter, to my knowledge, that hits all three. It will remove effectively all the major metals, all the major nonmetals such as fluoride. It will take out all known microbiological threats, including viral, bacterial, and cyst. And it will take out organic chemicals of pretty much everything without exception. It's a very, very powerful device. I don't believe that there's anything else out there in the world that can do that, especially under gravity flow conditions. The fit and finish are fantastic. No compromise was made on the quality of the construction. It's really a remarkable achievement on their part, and I feel very proud, actually, to be part of the team that put that together.
What's your view overall on fluoride?
Well, okay, so we actually tested against both the fluoride ion and the fluorosilicate that you mentioned, which is the additive that people put into water under federal control, and basically we removed both of them with equal efficiency. So we wanted to be sure that no matter how fluoride is added to the water, it can be intercepted and removed. So that's how we've dealt with that. All I can tell you is that we tested against all known fluoride chemicals that are added to water, the new ones and the old ones, and we removed them all of equal efficiency.
And it's your belief that this is the best gravity-fed filter of the design out there available to the public?
Without a doubt. I mean, most of these gravity flow filters are at best simple particulate filters. They remove dirt and debris, sediment. They're not going to be capable of intercepting a viral particle to the degree we're talking quantitative reduction below detection. No one can touch that kind of capability.
Well, I'm impressed, and I want to thank you so much for your time today. It is the AlexaPure Pro family of water filtration systems available discounted exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. I want to thank Mr. Redhawk for allowing us to be part of the launch of this. It's on sale right now for their main unit, $177. Leading competitors that aren't even as good or more than that. And they've also got the survival spring type straw system for survival that is an absolute must-have.
We had the witness that doesn't lie. We had the videotape.
Why is it so commonly justified that we literally shoot 5, 6, 7 bullets at a threat that has never killed one of us in the line of duty?
And that was a short trailer for Of Dogs and Men. It's going to have its world premiere right here in the city of Austin. But don't fret, if people go out and support this, if you tell people about it on social media, you may just get it in your neck of the woods. And to tell us more about it is Michael Ozias. And thank you for joining us today, Michael.
Thank you for having me, Jakari. I appreciate it.
All right, so for our viewers who didn't see our last interview, can you tell us about your film and what inspired you to make it?
The inspiration came from seeing YouTube videos online. Started with one, and I saw James Smoke, Texas Highway, his dog came out, wagging his tail, got shot, seemed totally unjustified, and it was upsetting, and I thought it was an anomaly, but then I found out there was, the more I researched it, the more I found out about it. At this point, we know from the Department of Justice, they estimate that this is happening 10,000 times a year in the United States, dogs getting shot by law enforcement in this fashion. So, it just became a much bigger issue. I wanted to do something about it. And if I were a lawyer, I would have started filing lawsuits. Or if I were a legislator, I would have started trying to pass laws. But as a filmmaker, it just seemed to me that that maybe a documentary could be something that could affect some change here. And that was the impetus for the project.
And that's such a great story because, you know, we get a lot of people, they call into the show and they write us emails and they always ask what they can do. Just like what you said you're not a lawyer, you're not these other things. You did what you could do. You did what you thought would help the situation. And I would give that message to anybody out there who's watching this. And it doesn't have to be dogs. It can be whatever your issue may be, you know, completely separate. But just attack it from the way that you can. So I think that's a very great story, a very inspiring story. Because just that number you threw out there, 10,000 times a year, that's quite a lot. Because you consider all the people who interact with dogs, whether they're dog catchers or pizza men or mailmen. How often do we hear a story about a mailman shooting a dog? My dad was a mailman for 30 years. He never even pepper sprayed a dog as far as I know.
Yeah, it's true. Where there is the will and the need, other solutions are found. And as we know, obviously, if UPS and meter readers and mail people were routinely being mauled by dogs, I'm sure the situation would be different. But obviously they, you know, obviously they've taken steps to make sure that they can handle this situation in a non-lethal fashion. And we acknowledge that law enforcement is a different animal and it can be more dangerous and more stressful. And so it is a different situation, but certainly, as far as we've seen, it's like if the will is there, the solutions can definitely be found. This is fixable.
Yeah, it's kind of like the only thing they have is a hammer, so everything looks like a nail. It seems like It falls into one of those type of categories. So tell us a little bit about the production, you know, how long you were working on the film and, you know, anybody else who may be involved in it.
Well, it's been about at least 2.5 years at this point from initially setting out with a plan to try and do this. And we have talked to so many people. We talked to many dog owners who lost their dog in this fashion. They told us their stories. We've talked to a lot of law enforcement, including police chiefs and sheriffs. We've talked to legislators, activists, lawyers. We really came at this from every angle we could think of and just sat down with as many people as we felt could offer insight on the issue so that the audience could get a well-rounded perspective on what's going on here.
That's very interesting. As far as law enforcement's take on it, was there any particular person or any particular sentiment that stuck out in your mind?
Yeah, I would say in the course of making the film, there were two things that were really surprising in that regard. One was that it was just learning how difficult the kind of obstacles that are faced. You look at something that happens like this and you just think, well, why isn't this officer fired? Or in some cases, even why aren't charges being pressed? And then you learn about how deep the rabbit hole goes in terms of obstacles in those areas. And that was eye-opening for me. But also, it was eye-opening the number of law enforcement officers who really want to see change happen on this issue as well. I think it's, they tend to get painted with a broad brush and it's assumed that they are all just happy with the status quo, but that is not the case.
That's good to know because I meet people of a similar sentiment, you know, because a lot of times we talk about questionable police actions and of course we address those, we put those on camera. But when you talk to some of these law enforcement, people, even if they have to tell you off camera and say, yeah, I don't like what's going on here either. I wish this or that policy would change. And that's what we always try to stress to people. It's not police in general. It's definitely some bad apples, but your average law enforcement officer, they just want to go out there and help their community and go home at the end of the day like everybody else wants to do. So with that in mind, you say you have the world premiere coming up this weekend in Austin. So for anybody who wants to see this film, what do they need to do?
So the film will make its world premiere at the Austin Film Festival. It is going to play Sunday, November 1st, 3 p.m. at the Rollins Theater, and Monday, November 2nd, 4:30 p.m. at the Galaxy Highland. And the festival recommends that people get there a half hour in advance. At least tickets are available day of at the box office. And yeah, hopefully would love to see any members of your Austin audience or Texas in general. They're close enough and they can come out. And it'll be really helpful for the film if we have a good turnout. So it's important to get people out to check it out, not just for the film and the content itself, but they could be helping the future of the film as well.
Absolutely, because I believe one of the victims of the film was here in Austin, Cisco. Is that correct?
That is correct. And Michael Paxton, Cisco's owner, is not only in the film, but he will be present at one of the screenings for one of the panel discussions. Also, Cindy Bowling, who lost her dog Lily in Fort Worth. And we will have Chief Jeff Halstead, who was the chief of the Fort Worth Police Department at that time and implemented a training and oversaw the training of his officers in response to Lily's shooting. He will be there as well as legislators and other people as well. We've got a great panel set up for our screenings.
Very good. Very good. And just for anybody who doesn't know, Cisco was a case that I learned about. It happened before I worked here at InfoWars, but a lot of people told me about this when I went out into the streets. And it was an officer responded to a situation. He went to the correct address, but it wasn't exactly where the situation was taking place. Long story short, Cisco, the dog, approached the officer. The officer pulled out a firearm, shot Cisco dead. He kind of, in the video, he shrugged his shoulders. And I believe the police chief at the time just kind of wrote it off saying that, you know, it was a stressful situation or something to that effect. But this is just one of many instances we've seen. We see it all the time, police shootings with canines. You know, sometimes you can say they're justified, but a lot of times they're not. And that is proven by the videotape. So tell us, Michael, in our closing statements, our closing comments here, the name of the film, where they can see it, all the good things they need to know, the websites, anything else that's pertinent to this situation.
Sure thing. The film is called Of Dogs and Men. Again, it's a documentary about these incidents of law enforcement shooting people's pet dogs. making its world premiere at the Austin Film Festival, November 1st and 2nd. So people can go to austinfilmfestival.com to learn more about the schedule and the festival. And they can go to ofdogsandmen.net to see the trailer and learn more about the film. And we hope to see you there.
Very good. And that's very important to support these filmmakers that are making things that are important to you, the viewer. So if you can't go out to the world premiere, at least go check out the website. Take a look at the trailer. I'm guessing they can share it on social media or some other means just to get the word out there. Because you were telling me off camera, if you can get enough interest in the film, you may have a better chance of picking up a distributor.
We also want to emphasize to people that we haven't forgotten that we're making a film here. I mean, the issue is very important and we are trying to shine a light on it. And I think all of that is going to happen. But also we have not forgotten that it is a film. It is a wonderful experience. It's been described to us as tears of sadness at the start and tears of joy at the end. So I just mention that because I know there are people out there who are afraid of the film, I think because of what they think they're going to see. And we just want to encourage people to give it a chance. It's a beautiful film. It's, believe it or not, it is an optimistic, hopeful story. And that is how we feel about this issue as well. It can be solved.
Well, thank you so much, Michael Ozias of Dogs and Men. Definitely go check it out and check out the websites as well. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Jakari.
I began to get into iodine a few years ago because it was helping me and my family so much get healthy and detoxify. I believe our research is conclusive. This is the best iodine out there. And I know this for a fact. Nobody else has got iodine based on these pure crystals, ladies and gentlemen.
For a limited time, experience the ancient power of Survival Shield X2.
I believe our research is conclusive. This is the best iodine out there.
Take advantage of this at InfoWarsLife.com.
And why wearing a Hillary for President t-shirt might get you punched in the face.
They thought it said Hillary for President. He said, I was seconds away from sending my bar back over here to punch you in the face. Since you're wearing a Hillary for Prison shirt, you don't have to buy drinks here. Everything's on the house.
Hillary for President! Hillary's not surging, I tell you that. They're not saying that. They're not saying that. Thank you.
Donald Trump endorses Hillary for Prison. Get your Hillary for Prison 2016 t-shirt at the InfoWars store. And on the back it says, legalize freedom. Show your disapproval of Hillary by buying your t-shirt today.
But what she's done is criminal.
This is an American president. Just add puppet, then vote and repeat every 4 years.
One of the things to watch tonight, of course, we're going to talk about the economy. How do you talk about the economy without talking about the massive federal debt? And today what they did was they passed an extension of the debt ceiling. Remember when they did that before? Barack Obama said, well, we haven't spent any money. You know, just passing the debt ceiling, that doesn't mean
anything. So raising the debt ceiling doesn't raise the debt.
That's right. It allows them to raise the debt. It doesn't technically. See, that's how they parse their words, you know, when they do that. Now, remember that it was in 2011 that the deficit was the debt was at $14 trillion. Today, they have pushed it up to $20 trillion. That's a 43% increase in just 4 years. And that's what we've got to look at. That's the GOP elephant in the room that they don't want to talk about. The fact that they are that on the same page with Obama, that they're both moving us further and further into debt.
You know, I am, by my nature, impatient, and this is not a...
His biggest weakness is his name is Bush. That,
yeah. That rewards that. His
you
brother.
Impatient. You
they call me Jeb, and I earned that. I said before.
His daddy financed the Nazis. His brother helped bring in 9/11, signed the Patriot Act. And
it his grandfather was the founder of Planned Parenthood, working with Margaret Sanger.
Senator Paul.
Slam her to the floor.
Only two people really answered it.
Baron Harkonnen speaks.
Because I was concerned about an $18 trillion debt.
We borrow $1 million a minute. Now on the floor of the Congress, the Washington establishment from both parties puts forward a bill that will explode the deficit. It allows President Obama to borrow unlimited amounts of money. I will stand firm. I will spend every ounce of energy to stop it. I will begin tomorrow to filibuster it, and I ask everyone in America to call Congress tomorrow and say, enough's enough, no more debt.
Well, gee, after the last debate, I was told that I didn't smile enough.
So we can't tell when she's smiling.
I think that these are very serious times. 75% of the American people think the federal government is corrupt. I agree with them. And this big, powerful, corrupt bureaucracy works now only for the big, the powerful, the wealthy, and the wealthy.
What are you going to do about it? Except she worked for Michael Hayden to help spy on the American people. Yeah.
Just Americans who've quit looking for work for 40 years.
Hewlett Packard biometric data.
This is about more than replacing a D with an R. We need a leader who will help us.
You know, surveillance equipment, they should help people look for jobs.
they like to find all the now hiring signs.
Yeah, I know. Find me a job then, guy. You got these blimps up in the air.
We're going to build a wall. We're going to create a border. We're going to let people in, but they're going to come in legally. They're going to come in legally, and it's something that can be done. They built the Great Wall of China. That's 13,000 miles. Here we actually need 1,000 because we have natural barriers. So we need 1,000. We can do a wall. We're going to have a big...
That would be the good time to, since we're talking about economics, talk about the economic incentives that are going to bring people in here whether or not you build a wall. We just saw this happen in Europe. Hungary completely closed their border. What happened? People went through Slovenia and Croatia because they're going to go to Germany. They're going to go to Sweden. They're going to get there however they can, as long as they're going to get a pot of gold from the entitlement state. So that's the problem, and they want to address that. You know, 19th century, 18th century walls are not going to stop this.
Yeah, I don't think a wall, for any, but not just Trump saying this, I don't think a physical wall is going to do the job.
30 seconds.
First of all, John got lucky with a thing called fracking, okay? He hit oil. He got lucky with fracking. Believe me, that's why Ohio is doing well. And that's important for you to know. Number two, this is the man that was a managing general partner at Lehman Brothers when it went down the tubes and almost took every one of us with us, including Ben and myself. Because I was there and I watched what happened, and Lehman Brothers started it all. He was on the board and he was a managing general partner. Okay. And just thirdly,
I think Kasich's guts are on the floor right now.
He's such a nice guy.
I think he's bleeding out.
I'm never going to attack. But then
he's now he's about to attack Trump for his casinos.
That's why he's on the end.
I think Trump just is this way.
He got nasty. So you know what? You can have him.
Let me respond. First of all, I believe that our Constitution protects everybody, regardless of their sexual orientation or any other aspect. I also believe that marriage is between one man and one woman, and that there is no reason that you can't be perfectly fair to the gay community. They shouldn't automatically assume that because you believe that marriage is between one man and one woman, that you are a homophobe. And this is one of the myths that the left perpetrates on our society. And this is how they frighten people and get people to shut up. You know, that's what the PC culture is all about, and it's destroying this nation.
All right, I'm sorry, Kit, we cut you off. What other thoughts did you have over there at the Twitter station?
You've been a fierce critic of the fact, arguing for...
Well, like I said earlier, the Republicans are always constantly, you know, they're pushing these so-called issues that they want to push, you know, about Social Security and so-called gutting government spending. But like David said before, the real issue is the Federal Reserve. Because, I mean, they can talk and talk, but it's all meaningless as long as there's a Federal Reserve that's basically kind of like a farmer that's feeding the fat goose of the government. So as long as there is, you know, this Federal Reserve system in place...
Hey, they're talking about that right now, Kit. Sorry. Yeah. Let's pick up with this.
Policy. End this star chamber that has been engaging in this incredible experiment of quantitative easing, QE1, QE2, QE3, QE infinity. And the people who are being impacted, you know, a question that was asked earlier, Becky asked, was about working women. Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting, you look at on Wall Street, the Fed is doing great. But if you look at working men and women, if you look at a single mom buying groceries, she sees hamburger prices have gone up nearly 40%. She sees her cost of electricity going up. She sees her health insurance going up, and loose money is one of the major problems. We need sound money, and I think the Fed should get out of the business of trying to juice our economy and simply be focused on sound money and monetary stability, ideally tied to gold.
Well, thank you very much. Whoa. I'd like to thank Ted for co-sponsoring my bill, Audit the Fed. And I think it's precisely because of the arrogance of someone like Ben Bernanke, who now calls us all know-nothings. That's precisely why we need Audit the Fed. I think it is really a very much a huge problem that an organization as powerful as the Fed comes and lobbies against them being audited on the Hill. I would prevent them from lobbying Congress. I don't think the Fed should be involved with lobbying us. I think we should examine how the Fed has really been part of the problem. You want to study income inequality? Let's bring the Fed board and talk about Fed policy and how it causes income inequality. Let's also bring the Fed forward and have them explain how they caused the housing boom and the crisis and what they've done to make us better or worse. I think the Fed has been a great problem in our society. What you need to do is free up interest rates. Interest rates are the price of money, and we shouldn't have price controls on the price of money.
Thank you, Senator.
They've destroyed 99% of our purchasing power in 100 years as well.
Much of the discussion is centered over whether or not the different tax plans help or affect the middle class. In fact, it's the chief argument by Democrats against many of the different flat tax proposals. Mine is unique in the sense that my tax plan actually gets rid of the payroll tax as well. It shifts it to the business, and it would allow middle class people to get a tax cut.
That's disappointing because any business taxes are ultimately passed on to the public in either higher product costs or in lower wage increases. That's very disappointing that it be Rand Paul. Don't you think?
We have $19 trillion in debt. We have people out of work. We have ISIS and Al-Qaeda attacking us.
I can't believe we're talking about fantasy football.
Yeah.
That's the first time you've said something, Christian, that I can agree with. You deserve a dime.
How about we get the government to do what they're supposed to be doing? Secure our borders, protect our people, and support American values and American families. Enough on fantasy football. Let people play. Who cares?
It's just a total lack of outside-the-box thinking when it came to Medicaid or came to taxation or whatever. I guess I should say a lack of outside of Washington, D.C. thinking.
Well, as we often talk about, you know, it's the same template as Fiorina pointed out multiple times. She was talking about how they just keep saying the same things that they've been saying for the last election cycles. But at the same time, nobody's offering any real type of policy change or I would go in here, I'd fix this, I'd do that. They talk about the problem. Everybody knows there's a problem.
Yeah.
People who don't watch this debate knows there's a problem just because they go through it on their daily lives. We all agree that there is a problem, but very few people had any type of answer, and the answers they did have sometimes weren't exactly the best.
Look, I just want to get serious with you guys. I came into this, and I had some real concerns. An issue, one particular issue, I just wanted some answers about, and that's the direction our country is going with fantasy football. And we brought that up today in the GOP debate.
That's right.
I mean, by God.
I think everybody at the Wingstop in Buffalo Wild Wings are, you know, sighing a great sigh of relief.
That's it for tonight's news. Thanks for joining us. This has been our live coverage of the third GOP debate. I'm David Knight with Jakari Jackson and Joe Biggs. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow. Well, that's it for tonight's news. Join us again tomorrow night at 7 Central, 8 p.m. Eastern.
Knockout is back. If you want a product that has 10 known ingredients that naturally get your body to relax, your brain to relax, so you get deep, restful sleep, Knockout's it. InfoWarsLife.com. L-theanine, hops flower extract, lemon balm extract, valerian root extract, chamomile flower extract, L-tryptophan extract, melatonin, and more. All organic, all the natural sources. It's the same price as leading brands of melatonin that are 3 milligrams apiece. It has 3 milligram, the standard recommended dose for an adult. It's got the GABA. So it would probably cost $50 to take all this as separate pills. It's $19.95. You take one or two of these, and it just is really clean, restful sleep is what the reviews are. It's what I've experienced. and it just synergistically puts everything in there. InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com. Or call 888-253-3139.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. And your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.